It's just me and you, but in the chat.
Oh, okay.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Pit Life Barbecue Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for, you know, your understanding of starting a little late this evening. But I don't know if we do it for most guests. This is special. So I didn't care if I had to go on at midnight. I'm talking to this gentleman. But guys, we are coming to you live from the Uncle Steve Shake Studios in Center Bonstead, New Hampshire. Obviously brought to you by Uncle Steve Shake. What can I say? 16 amazing flavors, uses the freshest ingredients, always small batch. So you're getting, when you get your orders, you're getting the freshest product possible. Uncle Steve puts his heart and soul in every shake he does, including the sauce with no name. Incredible customer service in a world where customer service is dead. If you call the number or email, you're going to get Steve. Steve's going to be the one answering that phone. Steve will email you back. Any questions you have, working for Flavor Profiles, Steve can help you out. Check him out at UncleSteveShake.com and also on Facebook. Join the Uncle Steve Shake Nation for everything Uncle Steve Shake. Uncle Steve Shake, shake some on everything. Also brought to you by Joe's Meat Market, the diamond of Royce City, Texas. Gabriel and his crew there do an incredible job. Your one-stop shop for all your barbecuing and grilling needs. You have something coming up for the weekend? One stop, done. Precious meats, special cuts. Gabriel, take care of that for you. The freshest produce brought in every day. Sauces, rubs, any other grocery items you might need. And if you happen to be hungry in anticipation, sit down, have a bite. Gabriel's mom will make you some tacos. Sit down, talk some barbecue with the boys. Everyone's always sitting there. Great place. Check them out. That's Joe's Meat Market in Royce City, Texas. Joe's Meat Market for the win. All right, folks. I am excited to speak with this gentleman. One of the reasons I got into barbecue, and we'll get into that in the morning. But, you know, what can I say? You've seen him on Barbecue Pit Masters, Chopped Grill Masters, Food Network, Cutthroat Kitchen, Recipe Rehab, Season 1 winner of Barbecue Pit Masters. A man who needs no introduction, but I'm trying to give him the best one possible. Ladies and gentlemen, from Slap Your Daddy Barbecue, the one and only Mr. Harry Sue. Harry, how are you?
Hey, Johnny, I'm doing wonderful. Better than I deserve. How are you doing?
I am fantastic, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're super busy with everything. I think you might be a little bit more busy now being retired than when you were working.
I did about 3+ decades of doing IT, building data centers, and kind of thought I'd slide into obscurity and kick up my feet and become a government retiree. But I have been really blessed the past couple of years. I have been traveling around the world, pursuing my passion, spreading barbecue love, and meeting lots and lots of great people and being part of other people's barbecue journey, which I think is one of the happiest times of my life.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to share this out right now. There we go. And like I said, with my podcast here, we're going on. It'll be 6 years this August. And you were one of the people to blame for this mess. You know, as a lot of the guys, you know, who have, you know, recently in the past, you know, 8-10 years gotten into barbecue, a lot of us have the same story. We were sitting on the couch one Saturday or Sunday afternoon, scrolling through the channels, and we stopped, and there was a bunch of guys cooking barbecue. So we stopped, and famous last words, I bet I can do that. And next thing you know, here we are. You know, so Harry, thank you for me personally for your inspiration. Because we'll start with the Pitmasters. Because on that show, you truly encompassed, quote unquote, the regular guy, the weekend warrior. You know, you had guys, you went up against, you know, Myron Tuffy, Johnny Trigg, and you were the one guy cooking on a Weber Smoky Mountain. You know, we can go to a store and buy a Weber Smoky Mountain, no problem. Well, the rest of the guys cooking Jambos, and we can't just go out and buy one of those getting into it. But, you know, you really hit, you know, with everybody because you almost seemed more realistic to the everyday barbecue in the backyard. You know what I mean?
I think when the producer, John Marcus, who is an Emmy award-winning producer, cast me on the show, I thought it was an accident. I had no idea when I got the phone call in the middle of a contest in Northern California. And about 5 minutes before the rib turned in, I get a phone call. And I answered the phone. I said, yeah, yeah. And the guy says, hi, you don't know who I am, but I'm a TV producer. My name is John Marcus. You know, I said, yeah, yeah. And I hung up because I thought it was another one of my competitors trying to get me disqualified for the entry. And on the drive home on Sunday, I looked at my phone and there was a 212 area code from New York. So I called him back and John and I had a conversation and he said he was going to put me on a TV show. He didn't tell me what the show was about. He said, I just want to put you on a TV show. And the following Monday, you know, UPS sent me, FedEx sent me a pile of documents from Discovery Channel. So I went back to my coworkers and I scolded them. Look at what you guys did. You got me into this whole thing through a bucket list from the movie with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. I cook a few contests and next thing you know, this guy talks to me on the phone and says he wants to put me on TV and send me a 1-inch thick document. What do I do? And my coworkers told me, Harry, what's the worst thing that can happen? You go on national TV and you make a total fool of yourself. And I had no idea at that point in time that I would be facing 3 world champions. It's almost like, you know, you're on a kind of a basketball reality show and you're up against Steph and LeBron and everybody else. If I had known that, I would have run for the hills.
Yeah.
And when I got on the show, everybody didn't know who I was. So I was kind of like, I think that they cast me as the fish out of water guy, mm-hmm. You know, kind of fish out of water guy that had a snowball sandwich in hell. But we'll put him on the show just to see him struggle. And when I got to the show, I think famously Leanne, who's now my good friend, said, you know, Harry who? Like a Dr. Seuss. What does he know how to cook? He probably is from California, so all he knows how to barbecue is tofu and artichokes. So I had a last laugh because if you buy my all-purpose rub now on the things that is recommended on, it's going to be tofu. So it's actually on my product label. So I had a last laugh. But we had a good time on the show, and I had no expectation because, you know, like you said, right, I'm using a $300 Weber Smoky Mountain against folks with those high-dollar, beautifully painted pits. And when we did the season finale show, which was shot in Texas, it was at Johnny Trigg's basically home base.
Yeah.
And we were told that we will be cooking Johnny Trigg's world championship category, which is ribs. So I thought, I'll just go to shoot it in Dallas and then pack my bags and drive on home and, you know, cross another chapter of my life. And my jaw literally fell out when they announced that I had won. And it's funny, right? On the morning of the shoot, we were at a shoot location on a slope. in a dude ranch, and they put me at the bottom of the hill because I just showed up in my little minivan and just a little Weber Smoky Mountain, a little folding aluminum table from Walmart. And all the other folks had, you know, kind of primo real estate up on the slope on the road. And I'm just like the little guy at the bottom. And we found out later during the judging that they brought in Texas master judges. And they had like four or five judges all from Texas. So I thought, okay, I'm in Texas cooking the rib category against a three-time world rib champion. So it's going to be a quick day. Let's finish up the day and I'll pack my bags and just go home. So literally I had to pry the money from their dead hands because Myron wouldn't cook unless everybody threw in $500 in a pot, winner take all, no seconds. Yeah. That was the reaction you saw on that episode was totally unscripted. Totally unscripted.
Yeah.
And now today, when I run into Johnny and Myron, they still say, "I'm going to get you, Harry." And it runs really deep, you know. And I was just amazed that it was just an amazing, priceless experience because Johnny and Myron, they have a very strong on-screen persona. Yeah. And people always ask me, "Is Myron like that in real life?" I will tell you, I've met the other side of Myron. He is a great TV personality. That's why everybody wants to watch him. But behind the scenes, he's a big teddy bear.
Yeah.
And he's not going to let me say that.
Yeah. And that was like... back when I first started the podcast, so back in 2018, one of our, maybe a month or two in, we had Junior Urias on, and we also had another episode. We had Robbie Roy, and it was great to talk with both of them. But I found Robbie was very interesting. Because of, you know, the way he was perceived, you know, and I had asked him about his experiences on Pitmasters. He goes, "It was crazy. We were doing double filming, you know, so we do the first thing. Then they handed me a whole nother brisket, and they just wanted to film my hands. And then they wanted me to say this a certain way," and he goes, "Be completely honest with you, I came out looking like an asshole. That I was the most conceited bastard on the planet." He goes, "But I'm not." He goes, "That's the only thing I didn't like about it." He goes, "You know, I kind of got used to it, but I guess, you know," he goes, that's the television for you. You know, they need the different personalities to make everything work. He goes, "And God knows that show worked. So they did it right."
Yeah, they tell me that the way a TV reality show is done is not about the cooking at all. It is about the interplay and the dynamics with the different characters. So I guess, you know, if you're a producer, you want to set up different energies and different characters so that the characters play off on each other. I learned many years later that I got onto the show by mistake because I was not supposed to be on a show. They had originally spent, John had spent 2 years scouting the six people he wanted to be on the show. I came kind of a last minute entry. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I guess they took a chance on me, no audition, no interview, and they just threw me on the show. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history.
We had a question. Where is it? There's Myron's money. From Damon Knight, "Harry, what inspired you to get into barbecue?" This is a
very simple. I'm a accidental pitmaster. I used to fly 747s for Singapore Airlines. I lost my job back in the 80s. So I'm an old geezer 40 years ago. I lost my job and I had to retrain for a new career. I thought, you know, it might be cool to study this thing called computers. And I ended up in Texas Tech to try to study computers, which I had no idea what computers were. Because when I first started studying computers, all I knew was computers could only do three things. It could be on, off, and error. And those are the three things I knew about computers. The first week at Texas Tech, my classmate took me out for brisket. I ate that brisket in Lubbock, Texas. And I thought, oh my God, where have you been all my life? How can meat taste so good? So I spent the next 20, 30 years kind of cooking it for fun, for friends and family. And I used to bring some of this work back to work. And when the movie The Bucket List came out with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson, one of my coworkers challenged all of us to do a bucket list. And they wrote me a stretch goal One was to take a stand-up comedy class, which would terrify me since I'm an introvert. And the second one was to cook a barbecue contest like the one you see on TV. So I actually had forgotten about the bucket list, but my coworker kept scheduling status meetings every month. So I would go there and get embarrassed. I say, hey, you know, you haven't done your bucket list. What are you going to do? So I finally, kind of buckled. And I showed them a piece of paper saying, I'm going to cook a contest in Palm Springs to get you off my back. Just one contest. You know, no idea what I was doing. I packed everything. Ordered my Smoky Mountain from Amazon on a Wednesday. Packed it up on the Thursday and Friday. And packed it up. Drove to Palm Springs. And I, by stroke of sheer coincidence and accident, I won the contest. Just like that. So I am totally an accidental pitmaster. I have no business being on your podcast. I have no business cooking barbecue. But it's something that I really have joy in cooking. Yeah. And the past 15 years, I've been on this journey for 15 years now. So when I retired, it was a logical transition to move into barbecue. And I have been just blessed with so many gigs. I think last year I did 55 gigs. I think in a couple of days, I'm heading to Chicago to be one of the masterclass instructors for Weber. And immediately I fly straight from Chicago. I fly to Fargo. I'm going to be doing another masterclass for Shield stores. They have 35 stores and they decided to carry my product. So all these opportunities could come my way totally by accident because I was brave enough to be on a bucket list and I was stupid enough to be on a TV show.
Hey, you know, you take those chances and that's what happens. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I tell people this story because I think too many people in the world, they always couldn't, shouldn't, wouldn't. And the lesson from Harry Sue that I can pass on to all your listeners and viewers is you gotta in life sometimes don't take yourself so seriously and don't do everything from the brain through the analytical part of you. Sometimes follow your heart. If, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you, you go on national TV and make a total fool of yourself. Then so go do it. And you'll be amazed at the opportunities that come your way completely by accident. I tell you, I'm so happy to be part of other people's barbecue journey, but I am especially happy now. I realize the true meaning of what I do is to be part of people's journey when they rise, because I was part of that. You know, kind of like you said, the story of how you started barbecue because you just saw this random episode of this guy, your regular Joe, you know, cooking on a little Weber Smoky Mountain against some of the high dollar pits, and it gave you a kind of idea that, hey, you know, if this guy can do it. And he cooks out of a minivan of a 10 by 10 pop-up tent with a couple of little Weber Smoky Mountain. I, too, can take my Weber Smoky Mountain and cook against the best. Because in a barbecue contest, it's double-blind judging. It's a white styrofoam box. The 24 strangers who eat your food, they have no clue who turned in the food. Because if you have box number 10 and you give it to the officials at the judging tent, they turn it to box number 400. So the judges judge box 400. They have no clue that box 400 is box 10, which is you. So when you walk on the stage at 5 o'clock on a Saturday and you get that big BAT, big ass trophy, it's really very, very rewarding.
Yes, for sure. For sure. As your popularity grew and became more known, when did you get the idea of, let me come up with my own line of rubs and sauces?
That's really simple. When I first started in barbecue in Texas, I had no pedigree. It wasn't like my grandpa taught my pa taught me how to cook barbecue. I had no idea how to cook barbecue, but I was a computer engineering student. And in computers, we have something called the brute force attack. So brute force attack is kind of like where you crack a password, you try every combination out in the universe, and a computer can try every combination very quickly. So I decided that I can crack the secret code of barbecue by doing the same brute force approach. So I would cook a piece of meat with just salt and pepper. I'll get the results down. Salt, pepper, chili powder, result. Salt, pepper, chili powder, sugar, salt, pepper, chili powder, sugar, garlic powder. So I built all these flavor profiles into what I call Harry's Lego block system of creating flavors. So something sweet, something salty, some spices, and some chili. So with these four Lego blocks, I created a lot of flavor profiles that I like, that I used over the years. Never imagining one day that they would have on the shelves, and now they're in the shelves in Home Depot now, which is totally mind-blowing to me, right? I'm just this, you know, international student, former pilot, now washed up computer guy. And then I made all these flavors for myself. And over the years, I kind of cooked that for my family. And when I go for competition, I started to blend some of these products for myself. And then my friends asking, hey, you know, can I have your secret rib recipe? Can I have your secret butt recipe, your brisket recipe? So I thought after I retired, why don't I just put some of these products out there in the marketplace? And now I've ended up with like 10 rubs and 5 sauces, which people use because they understand my strategy of doing it like a Lego. So for example, like my sauces, right? I have 5 sauces because one of the problems I have with sauces, I buy a sauce, I put it in the fridge. 6 months later, I throw it away because I'm bored with the flavor. So why don't I just set the same thing with the sauce where different flavor profiles are present? I have a sweet, a tangy, a hot, and an American, and an original. So what happens is I actually mix the sauce on site. So if I'm competing in Kansas City, it's going to be a sweet profile. I'll use maybe 80% of my sweet sauce. In what do you call California, they like kind of a sweet and kind of tangy. I'll use half of my Carolina with half of my Kansas City sweet, and I'll add a little bit of my hot burn for heat. So with that kind of a system of Lego blocks, it allows me to mix and match flavors to achieve the unique flavor that's needed to win a competition. Because I always tell people, in order for you to win, you have to create extraordinary, ordinary barbecue. I'll say that again. So it's an extraordinary, ordinary barbecue. That means that your barbecue tastes ordinary, but there's something extremely extraordinary about it. And the way you do that is you have to understand the principle called the purple cow. If you drive down by the ranch and you see all the black and white cows on the hill, no cow is going to catch your eye. They're all cows. But if the rancher were to paint one cow purple with a cow-safe paint, okay, immediately your eyes go, whoa, what's that on a hill? I saw a purple cow. So that is the secret that I teach people when I teach competition classes, is that you've got to come up with a purple cow. If everybody's cooking sweet, you don't want to cook sweet. If everybody's cooking tangy, you don't want to cook tangy. You want to cook something really, really different. When I cooked the contest in Texas, everybody in Texas cooks kind of the same kind of brisket. So I decided to do a California brisket, and I made it sweet. So it was a sweet brisket. It was good enough for reserve champion. So these are the kinds of tricks I always tell people, that when you get to the top 100 in America, we can all pretty much cook barbecue. Your key or your passion or your objective should be find a purple cow entry for every contest you go to.
I love it. I love it. Now, with your rubs and sauces, like right here, I have your Carolina tangy.
Uh-huh. Yes. That's a Carolina that's a tangy sauce. And it blends really well with the sweet sauce. So if you take 50-50 of Carolina tangy with my cheeky sweet Kansas City, that is the first place USA chicken. So I won KCBS Team of the Year in chicken. That's a combination that I've used for that win.
Yep. And then we have the SCA competition steak.
Yes, that's blended for my friends. Some of my students and friends, they've gone to Fort Worth for the World Championship. They've used my rub. So what I've done is I've blended a lot of what I call umami ingredients into my rub without using MSG. And I've resorted to using natural products here. So all my products don't have MSG. They don't have gluten. Because I sell my rubs in Europe. So the Europeans are a little bit picky about the ingredients. Yeah. They have to make sure that you don't have any chemically sounding products in your ingredient list.
Yeah. You know, I have 4 other products here off to the side here, but we'll get to those in a minute, because I don't really want to upset too many people, because not too many people can find these, and you know why.
Oh, because why?
I did a little video. You asked if you went to a certain store and saw these products. Do a little video, give a shout out, and one of the stores happened to be in my neck of the woods. They're only available in 54 stores. I'll give you that hint of where I'm going.
I have actually an update for you. They contacted me, and guess what? Good news. The test is expanding.
Ooh.
So they just notified me that they're going to double the number of stores. So it's going to 100 plus now. So that was the news. That's why I've been so busy trying to organize that order. There's a lot of bottles, obviously, that have to be packaged and sent out. And there's going to be an all-purpose, a chicken, and a beef, as well as the hot burn. The hot burn sauce that is relabeled under Jealous Devil, that won 2nd overall USA in terms of a hot barbecue sauce.
That was what I was going to ask. Is that the same recipe as your mainline hot burn?
Yeah, it's the same co-packer. I use the same co-packer. The long story short, I think your viewers and listeners might benefit from this story. You know, a lot of times when you go out and you do collaborations with people, you never know where these collaborations kind of end up. A few years ago, about 4 years ago, a jealous devil wanted somebody to come cook the meats to do a demo for a trade show. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I can see the love rub there. So they brought me on board for Jealous Devil so I could kind of like cook some food for the trade show. Mm-hmm. And I cooked the food for the trade show, and there was a line outside the booth. So the owners of Jealous Devil came and say like, okay, what's all this hullabaloo about? We hired this pitmaster from California. He's cooking the food, giving away free samples. And everybody was lining up saying, oh, wow, that's some amazing steak that you cook, amazing mm-hmm. vegetables that you cook. So the owner say, well, who's the pitmaster? Oh, that's this guy, Harry Sue. What's he using on his seasoning to cook the food for the demo? And they saw my different rubs that I was using, and the owners ate the food. They say, wow, dang, this is really, really good. Even though we are a charcoal company, do you want to kind of work with us to kind of sell your product through us through what I call a private label? So it's my product, but in their label. And we went through a process to design a caricature of me, and they ended up with a little cartoon drawing of me. You can't tell if I'm Asian, I'm African American, I'm Hispanic, but that's the what you call high dollar merchandising, right? So, and then on top of that, a couple of years ago, Jealous Devil was one of the very few vendors invited to the 5,000 manager Home Depot conference at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. And they said needed another pitmaster to come and cook the whole hog on an open pit. So they called me and say, would you come over to Las Vegas, which is not far from Los Angeles, to help us out by cooking a hog on a cinder block pit using the same products you find in Home Depot? Would you draw the plan? So I actually drew a blueprint of a 3x5 cinder block pit, and I gave it to Jealous Devil, and they brought it to Home Depot, and then Home Depot actually built the pit. And I drove to Las Vegas and cooked two hogs over 2 days on an open pit. And I didn't know that some of the people that came to sample the hog were the CEO and the head of purchasing. So long story short, right, after that event, I went home. Everything was quiet. And Jealous Devil got the job. So Jealous Devil went into 2,400 stores. And there was no love for Harry after that. They forgot about me. And then last December, we get this email, frantic email saying, hey, you know, we got to get your product to Home Depot, just like that, just out of the blue. 2 years later, right, after everything was like crickets, 2 years later, scramble like a crazy man. And then my business manager, Joel, and I were able to kind of scramble, create new bottles, because they didn't want my bottles. They wanted their own bottles in their own size. Yeah. So you can imagine, right, it's not that easy to repackage something into a smaller bottle, get all of the labels and everything all fixed in a short period, essentially like 30 days. So do or die 30 days. So finally we got it in, and you were holding that bottle. That 10-ounce bottle ended up being what Home Depot wanted. And, you know, people think that, you know, doing business with big box store is not easy. It's not easy because they dictate all the terms. They tell you when they want a product, how fast they want it, like yesterday, what quantity, what size, what dimension, and most importantly, what pricing. So that for people who would want to try to get into rub and sauce business, you need to realize that once you get into big box store, you have absolutely zero ability to influence the pricing, right? You can run your own website. You can sell it at any price you want. But when you sell it to those people, they tell you what they're going to buy it for. If you can't make the numbers work, that's just too bad.
Yeah. Let me see here. Mike J, just because I know you're in Manchester. The Home Depot in Hooksett, right off of exit 10 on 93, carries the Harry's Barbecue Love Jealous Devil line, the three rubs and the sauce. So you have the all-purpose, the beef, the chicken, and the hot burn barbecue sauce.
Yeah, and anybody who finds them, if you want to take a picture and post on social media, just put a hashtag /YoDaddyBBQHD because I need to go periodically to search it. And what I've done is I've sent a little gift packs to the people out there who are kind enough to give me some love, because it's a really dog-eat-dog trying to get your product into big stores. Yeah. I'm just very blessed that they gave me a chance at 50 stores. Now they give me a chance at 100 stores. So if everything goes well, maybe I might get lucky and you'll go to all stores.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike. Yeah. They have it. And they have, it is an entire section of all the Jealous Devil products. So they're not separated from like a charcoal aisle they have it. Everything that Jealous Devil is doing now, as far as the barbecue and grilling world, is all in one section. and they're all there. And it's funny, Harry, is a couple weeks ago, I was at that Home Depot with my wife. And I always, whenever we go to a store, I always go and look in their gardening section, and because that's usually where they keep the barbecue stuff, and, you know, just to see what I can find. And I was looking, and I go, Harry Sue stuff. Oh, that's wonderful. I got to get those. That was, call it, like a Thursday of 1 week. The following week, I'm having lunch, and I'm scrolling through YouTube, and there's a short from you explaining the product line with Jealous Devil. And if you were in 54 stores currently, and if you find it in that store, do a quick video, tag Slap Your Daddy Barbecue, and we'll put together some type of contest. I looked at my phone and went, holy cow, I know a store that has it because I literally saw it the other day. So I ran back up there after work, got everything, did my little video for you, and it was funny. And now, do you know how they choose the sample stores or experimental stores?
That's a very good question, because the Excel spreadsheet they sent me, for example, like in California, right? In Los Angeles has 20 million people. They only pick one store.
Yeah.
Go figure. And then in Northern California, they pick two stores. So I looked at the database, and they divided America into 7 different regions, according to Home Depot's, I guess, algorithm. So I have to guess, since I used to work in data analytics in computers, that the algorithm tells them which store needs to carry it. So if those stores resonate sales, then it's a good indicator to extrapolate that to the rest of the stores out in America. So I'm sure it's all a very data-driven type of a decision-making process. And I'm just glad to be in there. And if you are listening to this podcast, please, please, please run out and take a picture, or even better, buy a bottle. That way they'll register a sale, and maybe they'll continue to carry my product. I know it's a really cutthroat business, because they gave a few different vendors that opportunity to put in the 10-ounce bottle in the stores. So I'm up against some very stiff competition. We call it the belly beam competition. Belly beam is the beam above the product. So when you go to a store, you see the charcoal, right, in pallets. Above the charcoal will be a beam. That's where the beam where all the accessories go. And that's where my product actually ended up. So it's not on a separate aisle. It's where it's paired with Jealous Devil, because it's sold as a Jealous Devil product. And it's called the Love Rub, but essentially it's the same co-packer, just a different label and a different bottle size.
Now, when we first started, I was saying, you know, guys are going to yell at me. And apparently Daddy Dutch in here, he's got the inside track. He literally texted me his question for you.
Okay.
Is Harry going to be at either the Sioux Falls or Sioux City Shields for a demo?
Next week, I'm actually going back as a defending champion. So I've won the Brisket Championship in Shield, as well as the People's Choice 2 years in a row. So I will be there. I'm looking at my paper calendar here. So I'm flying to Chicago on Thursday doing the Weber Masterclass. Sunday, I fly out to Fargo, and we're going to do 2 days with Shields with 100 Shields managers. And I'm hoping that my team beats out the other 20. That has a little bit of a prestige to it, because 20 of the top pitmasters in America have been invited to Fargo, North Dakota, for the Shields annual throwdown. So the way it works is you're not allowed to cook. You train your students to cook. So it's really a kind of a how good of a teacher you are, because it's not you cooking. You got to teach them. So my philosophy is I follow the rules. I don't touch the meat. I just go there. I am an instructor. I can't say that for certain for some of my other peers who dive in and do everything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to let them do everything. And then whatever extra brisket they have, then I am supposed to make a People's Choice dish. So actually, the reason I was late for our podcast is because I was out there sourcing my secret ingredients, because I have to blow them out of the water. The past year, I won it with brisket sushi. I made a brisket sushi that about wowed everybody. So this year, I've got to up my game and top that. So that's why I was out scouting for all these ingredients in the Los Angeles traffic, because I have to get everything checked and prepped and my R&D done. today is already Monday, so I'm flying out Thursday. So I got about 48 more hours to kind of get everything packed for the Weber Masterclass as well as the Shields University. So that's why, you know, as a pit master, people don't realize that you just cannot go to an event and do your thing. There's a lot of prep, a lot of thinking, a lot of R&D, trying different recipes, trying different techniques, trying different presentations. Because if you want to win, you've got to have the mindset that you've got to make a perfect entry in terms of how it looks, how it tastes, and how tender it is.
Nice.
And trying doing that with other students. So like, for example, the one in Weber, also that's up for grabs because I think Dustin, the pitmaster from Weber, won it last time. So all the other pitmasters like me, we want our students to beat Dustin. So they have actually like a WWF belt that you get to wear. So I want my students to wear that belt on Sunday this week.
And it's funny because Damon is just asking, Harry, would you rather do competitions or teach classes?
I like to do both. I actually told you before, right? I am happy to be part of other people's journey, but I am really happy when other people rise because of me. For example, I'm going to be in Memphis in May next month, cooking on the Willingham team, being one of their cooks and helping them become successful. So I derive more joy. I've won all these awards. You know, like you, there's going to be a video soon. I cleared my garage of my 500 trophies. I donated it away. I gave it to A-Rod, my friend who's a Marine, and he runs the PTSD camp for Marines. It's a sad piece of fact I have to relay with everybody. About every single day, about 25 veterans kill themselves every day because of PTSD and the trauma and depression. So I've donated all my trophies away, and A-Rod's going to go and repackage them and use them for part of his program to kind of get some of these folks out of their depression and mental state. So I believe my journey is more to continue to spread barbecue love. You know, I have all these awards. And really, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the awards don't matter. It's the what truly matters is that we have relationships, we have love, and we have memories. That's really something that's priceless. Don't buy stuff. Buy memories and buy experiences. And, you know, I've many, many trophies, and I've given them all away because I want to shed that part of it. I am more happy when you rise because I'm part of your journey, then it is for me to do that. I have, you know, blessed over the past 15 years, I've had 4,000 students in 15 years.
Wow.
Taught by myself one-on-one in small classes, about a dozen students at a time, 300 classes around the world. And all these students are now sending me all these videos and all these accolades and all these anecdotes of how they won. Like, I just came to Panama, the team I trained there won just the grand champion of Panama. Another team won first in ribs, first in pork. So for me, the joy of my journey of barbecue is with other people who rise because I was part of their journey. That truly is the gift that I've been blessed to have.
Oh, for sure. Now, the chat is just zipping by me, but I'm catching bits and pieces of a mutual friend of ours, Mr. T. Roy Cooks.
Oh, hey, T. Roy, my good buddy, he moved to New Mexico. I know he saw the eclipse. So,
there
T.
Roy, was something,
shout out to you.
There was something said about you naming, maybe it's the temperature gauge on his Weber or something.
Yeah, he had a big ass temperature gauge. That was what he was called. The biggest temperature gauge I've seen on a Weber came out then. Yeah.
I saw something in a different comment.
Big ass temperature gauge.
Two things you can see from space: the planet and T-Roy's temperature gauge.
You don't have to squint. You don't need glasses. You can see from right across, you know, his backyard.
Yeah. So, like you said, we all saw you starting on Weber Smoky Mountains. What are you cooking on these days? And I know you are currently in works with Primal Grills. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the story of how I became an accidental pitmaster has now morphed in 2024 that I have become an accidental grill manufacturer, totally by accident. One, my buddy John from Arkansas was building a grill. So he says, Harry, would you do me a favor and kind of like tell me what's the good, the bad, the ugly about it? So I cooked on it and I said, you know, John, you got a really good grill here. It's got a lot of positive characteristics, but there's just 17 things wrong with it. And he says, okay, smarty pants, what's the 17 things wrong? So just out of a lark, I kind of wrote an email and I listed all the 17 things I sent to him, right? And I thought, ah, you know, just blow him off, you know, just, you know, he'll. He fixed it. It's like,
oh.
Then he sends me the prototype and I cook on it. And I say, you know, John, I have to say, I cooked on literally dozens, if not hundreds of grills the past 15 years as a professional pitmaster. And, you know, this one really excites me because it brings out the inner pyromaniac in me, because I'm a inner pyromaniac. I like fire. And this grill really works. It can cook, roast, it can smoke, it can grill, it can do caveman. And I really like it. And you know, how do I get one? So, you say, yeah, you want one? Yeah, you gotta help me sell it. I say, okay. Let me. I don't know how to sell grills. I know how to cook, but maybe I can, you know, shoot some video and help you with the website. Since I work in IT, I know how to build a website. Maybe I can help that portion of it for you. And next thing you know, I'm a grill manufacturer dealing with the Houthi pirates now in the Suez Canal. Because the shipment apparently can't get to the United States. It's delayed a month because the pirates have been attacking the shipping. Oh. And they cannot go through the Suez Canal. So the boat that's bringing the grills, after being manufactured, had to swim, not drive through Africa now, you know, the big continent of Africa to get to the United States. And it's going to arrive, I think, next month. And I'm now, you know, working on some of the what to do in the launch and logistics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. That's what I used to do for a living, right? I was a program manager, overseeing 12 project managers, running $250,000 worth of expenses a week. And now I thought I left that job, you know, the headache. But, you know, for the life of me, Johnny, I don't understand. You kind of like snap back on me now. So I'm going to try to distance myself. You know, the good news is that he only wants to sell 200 of that a year, so it's not like a 20,000, you know, unit kind of a deal. They are a little bit on the high end. It's intended for people who really want the best in the world, 304 marine stainless, 3mm thick with Sarah wool, all that. It's a really like a what I call like a kind of high-end machine. And it's not going to be a mass commodity item. It's just going to be for just 200 people lucky enough to get one. And I think that it'll sell out really fast.
Yeah. That,
and then I told John, don't forget, you know, when you sell something, what I hate is companies that nickel and dime you. They charge you for the shelf. They charge you for the tools. So I told him, bundle in the shovel, bundle in the grate cleaner. And then on top of that, I want you to add $800 worth of doodads on top. And on top of that, I'll stand behind a grill. We will offer something unknown. So when you buy a car, the mechanic comes to the car free for the first 6 months. So I come with the grill. I have a Patreon account. So I have Patreons that I take care of on my Patreon account. They can tell their friends, hey, I have Harry Sue's phone number on my cell phone. Anytime I have a problem, because I'm a patron, I call Harry Sue and he answers and he helps me. I just zoom in and show him what's wrong with my cook. And he actually gives me interactive advice any time of the day. So I told John, do that on the grill, because I like the grill and I stand behind it. So if anybody has an issue the first 6 months, you give them my contact. I will call and I will fix it for them. If need be, I'll fly out and fix your problem for you, whether it's equipment problem, it's a cooking problem. Because I think a lot of people, they miss out on the opportunity of live fire cooking. And that's where I think a lot of the fun is. There's barbecue and there's live fire cooking. Barbecue is fun and tasty, but not very sexy watching a brisket cook for 14 hours. Because there's nothing going on in there. But live fire, you really have to be on your wits and watch the meat, because you could actually make it, you know, totally ruined in literally 60 seconds. So for me, live fire is a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, between moving the grates up and down and it's, you know, and oh, bless you. There's there's no fake in the fire management on a live fire.
Yeah, you know? I think that the idea is that I like to cook kind of, you know, caveman style, which is like food right on the coals. There's something Neanderthal. There's something that brings out the inner pyromaniac in me. And I know that there's at least 200 pyromaniacs out in America and that who are like me, who, you know, truly understand that idea of being close to fire, cooking meat and watching the smelling the sizzle and the sounds. And that is completely different than me cooking like a brisket in my Weber smoking mother. It's a completely different dynamic, a different energy, a different feel, a different experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome on that. So you're looking at next month of the ship arriving in the States.
Yeah, if it makes it through, because I my understanding is that there's been a lot of challenges with shipping because of the pirates. And I don't know, I understand when you go over Africa that's a very bad weather, right? The bottom of the Cape African.
Horn, yeah.
Yeah. So I know nothing about shipping. I know nothing about manufacturing. So I'm just a cook. So that's John's problem. He's gotta go figure it out.
Yeah. Now you said there's only 200 made. Do you know if all 200 are already sold?
No, they have to manufacture in batches. So the only reason that this can be done is because the company that is manufacturing the order, ordinarily you can't get a company to make small quantities. They want to make 10,000 units, but this company manufactures the stainless steel for a major coffee chain in America. I don't want to say the name, but it starts with some kind of buck, right? And they have the capacity, so I guess they want to kind of branch off a little bit into something, a play area. So somehow John knew people who knew people and got this company interested to manufacture a small batch, because I think that there are certain crazy people like me, right, who want perfection, and it's, you know, not easy to find like-minded people who also appreciate perfection and want to create a small bespoke grill, right? So 200 is all they're gonna make for us, and I'm fine with that, because so long as I get mine, I'm okay. So things like me, I told them I don't like the way it's too heavy. We gotta lighten it. So what they did was they, instead of having the brick, is brick line on the side, they put in a commercial insulation called CeraWool, which is used for commercial kiln.
Oh yeah.
So it's got a sidewall with the commercial CeraWool, which is something very unique. And then because it's CeraWool, it's zero clearance. So if you want to put it on your kitchen countertop, you don't have to buy the unit, because the frame that is on can be removed. So you just pop it off and you pop it into your countertop, zero clearance. Oh, wow. When I closed the door, I didn't like the way the door closed. It didn't give a thud and it didn't feel substantial. So they completely redesigned the hinge. They completely redesigned the fastening mechanism so that when you close the door, it closes like a Lexus or a Mercedes. So you know, when I wrote all these things, I never imagined they would do anything about it, you know. But they fixed it, and I love it. It's really, attention to detail. So if you are like a OCD person like me, you can appreciate the engineering detail that went to it. But if you're just a regular backyarder, you find that it's a grill that really, really works.
Oh, awesome. That's great. That's great. So that's the primals. And you can get on their website to...
Yeah. We're doing a pre-sale now. And the people who sign up for the pre-sale, that's going to be $800 for a goodie. So, for example, like, we wanted to make sure that you get a charcoal. So the Jealous Del charcoal that comes with the kit. We wanted you to be able to start up the charcoal. So my buddy, Ben from Bob Healy from Grill Gun, he's going to provide the grill gun. So you get a brand new grill gun with it to start out the fire. I have friends in Thermal Works also. So they are going to get one soon also and use it for the shows and the demos and the videos. You get a thermal pen one with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my buddy, Grill Grates, they're going to provide the tongs and everything. So I kind of went out, reached out all my buddies who are in the industry with me, and I went to like best of breed. I want the best thermometer, the best grill gun, the best charcoal. So all that is going to be bundled as part of the startup kit. Because I told John, when I get a grill, I want it to be able to cook out of the box. I don't want to buy it and then, you know, I got to go buy the shelf and I got to go buy the rig, got to go buy the tools. Forget about all that. Give them something that will cook right out of the box.
Very nice.
And then the meat also, I like Wagyu. So my buddy, my Texas Tech buddy, Doug Hassel, who owns HasselCattleCompany.com, he sells Wagyu. So we're going to include also Wagyu beef coupon in there. So you get your grill and you get the beef, you get the grill gun, you get the charcoal, you get the thermal works, you get everything. So everything ready to rock and roll. And then the only thing you need is Harry. Harry will be on your phone. And if you're one of the lucky people, maybe Harry might even show up and actually assemble the grill with you and teach you how to cook on it.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing.
And then free unlimited lifetime, free unlimited support for the first 6 months. There you go. So any problem you have, you call me, I'll answer the phone.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. There was one, I forget how you phrased it or the term you used. of, I guess, barbecuing and grilling. It was eight categories or eight levels.
So, I get asked that question a lot. What's the difference between barbecue and grilling? Essentially, the way I described it is that there's four tribes. And it's like a Jerry Springer fist fight. All these tribes are very, fastidious about their technique. So we have one tribe called the ultra low tribe, people who only believe barbecue should be cooked below 212 degrees, which is the boiling point of water. That's tribe number one. Tribe number two is the tribe I'm in, which is called low and slow, people who believe the only barbecue in the world should be cooked between 225 and say 250, 275. Then you have the other camp called the hot and fast, HNF camp, who believe that you should cook food hot and fast, which is about 275 to say 300 degrees. Then you have the UHNF, the ultra hot and fast, which is tribe number four. People who believe, like Myron does, Myron cooks food above 325. So these four tribes, right, go around the world, and depending which tribe you're in, they tend to believe they are the only way to cook barbecue. So if you take those four tribes, combined with two styles of fire sauce, you have indirect and direct. So you take two indirect, multiply by four, essentially you get eight camps for barbecue, right? So when I teach around the world, I taught from Kuala Lumpur to London to Australia, is that I tell them that no, regardless of which camp you are in, I can teach you how to cook in any of those eight camps. And they're all good. It's a matter of you having the right technique and the right science to go behind your methodology.
Now, obviously being able to teach in all the different categories, how long did that take? Or is it as simple as just like an time equation using the temperature to bounce between each level?
I think I would answer the question by just saying that if you are a food historian and food geography fan like me, those traditions already exist around the world. So barbecue is not just limited to American barbecue. We are just the tip of the iceberg. I've cooked, people in Africa, they have African braai. I cook with Japanese people. They have something called yakitori. I've gone to places like Indonesia and Singapore. They cook satay, different kinds of satay. And you go to South America, they have churrascaria. You can have either with chimichurri. You can have salsa roja, salsa blanco. So what I've been doing is I've been really fortunate to be invited around the world to experience firsthand cooking a cabrito on an open frame, cooking a whole suckling pig on an open frame fire. So once I got to see the world, I realized that the world is the same. We all love to cook food. And how you cook it, and what proteins you use and what ingredients you use, it's a matter of what's available locally. So if you got jalapenos and you got tomatoes and onions, then you will cook something along the lines of a salsa, verde, roja. And that is kind of where your orientation is. If you are in Georgia and you got peaches, you do the peach with your pork. You go to Kansas City, you want to do something ribs, you want to go to Texas, there's a lot of butcher paper, a lot of Czech and German butchers there. You got lots of butcher paper, lots of big cuts of meat, you throw them on the fire, you wrap in butcher paper. So in traveling around the world, what I've realized is that we are all united by our common love for meat over fire, smoke, and family and love and purpose and faith. That's what I've learned traveling around the world.
Yeah. Definitely the food, and and especially with the barbecue and the grilling, is really a true equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're, the king of Mars or, regular average Joe. When it comes to cooking and, the process, doesn't matter who you are, you're on the same level. And always reaching to help someone succeed or do a little teaching and learning on at the same time, and just enjoying the company of each other. It's the best. I have made so many great relationships since I started barbecuing. I'm blessed. I really am, and I haven't had the opportunity to meet people that I would never have met without barbecuing, and you know, my life is better because of it.
I completely agree, and I always tell people that in my retirement years, I have truly found my purpose. And my purpose is just three simple words. I want to feed you. I want to serve you. And I want to love you. That's all I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life in my chapter of retirement.
Can't argue with that. I think that's the... That's it right there. I think you've got it all figured out, Harry.
Yeah, we don't realize that we live on Earth for such a brief amount of time, right? And I always tell people, please live your life with intensity because life is brief. Don't could have, would have, should have. Just go ahead and do it. Last Monday, I was driving all over Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas looking for a break in the cloud, because I wanted to see the eclipse in my own eyes and not on YouTube. So I finally found a spot in a very rural area of Arkansas, and I whipped out my little backpack grill and I cooked a steak right in the total eclipse. Now people are going to say, you're crazy for doing that, but that is what I wanted to do. I wanted to cook my steak. So I cooked my steak to about 110 degrees and I heated up my grill grate on my little portable grill. And during that eclipse, when he went out, I did my 600 degree 60 second searing technique on my steak, and I got perfect char marks during the eclipse. How cool is that?
Oh, that's
I fed the food to all the people around me. What is the matter with this guy? We're in eclipse, and all he's about is running around trying to cook a steak. Yep. Why? Because I can, and that is something that I look forward to. So I'm hoping that I will be around for the next one, which is in 2044 or something like that. So if I'm going to be alive, I'll be 100 years old by then. Who knows? Right? Like I say, you know, you never know. You got to keep trying.
Yep. And, you know, speaking of that, on the interesting places to cook, you actually cooked under or below, however you want to call it, the Northern Lights.
Yes, due to my bowls, my buddy who is the president of the Alaskan Barbecue Association, he got me the opportunity to cook under the Northern Lights. So I cook a steak under the Northern Lights. It wasn't an ordinary steak. He was able to source something called a musk ox. So for those of you not aware what a musk ox is, it's like an Arctic bison. And you can't just go and shoot an Arctic bison. You got to be like a local, not even a local, right? You got to be like an Alaskan, like native Alaskan to be able to do that. So he got a musk ox ribeye, and I got to cook a musk ox ribeye underneath the Northern Light. How cool is that? I can make it out. You see me, I tried. Okay. And the next adventure you see me doing is I'm just trying to see anybody out there who can help me out, who can fabricate a 10-foot telescopic tong. I'm planning to cook a steak in a very special place on Earth where 1/3 of the magma oozes out from the planet Earth, pushes half the land towards the USA and pushes half the land towards the Europe. And that place is called Iceland. 1/3 of the magma oozes out through Iceland. So I'm going to try to cook a steak on lava in Iceland coming up.
I know.
So I'm looking for those fire suits on Amazon, you know, those silver fire suits on Amazon. So if I perish in one of those adventures, at least you know I went a happy pitmaster.
You went out happy.
I went out happy.
Oh, Harry, that is
so big. I tell the story to all your listeners and all your viewers because I want you to live your life with intensity because life is brief and we have all lost friends and family and loved ones, you know, and it reinforces the need for us not to hold back. Don't always be so cautious. Take some risks. Go out and be a total fool of yourself. If somebody invites you to be on a TV show, don't say no. Just say, Harry Sue gave me the opportunity. He had no idea what he was doing, and he went on a TV show, and that fundamentally changed his life. Now he gets to travel around the world, spread barbecue love, donate proceeds to charity like Operation Homefront, Save the Children, Barbecue, Operation Barbecue Relief. To me, that is truly the calling, is to serve you, to feed you and to love you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have one last question for you, Harry. Like I said, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. I know you're busy, and I know you're kicking off to do decent amount of traveling in the next few months. So I appreciate the time you've given me tonight. I can't thank you enough. It's been an honor. But the last question, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, what does it take to become a Lego figure?
That is another accident, okay? I tell you, I ended up being a Lego figurine a week ago, the only one in the world. The very first Grand Champion Pitmaster Lego figurine in the world. Yes. You know, Lego's got 400 billion pieces issued, but they don't have a Grand Champion Pitmaster. Yes. So when I got the call, right, to do that, I thought it must be a prank, right? I mean, come on. You know, of all the Pitmasters in the world, and there's at least 7,000 professional teams in America, they called me and say, hey, you know, we want to make a Lego out of you. At first, I thought it was a prank, right? So I said, yeah, you know. So they say, can you send us some artwork over? So I send the artwork. That was like months ago, right? And then nothing happened, crickets for another 3 months. And all of a sudden, I get the email. And in the email, there's a picture of a mock-up. I say, holy moly, that's actually a Lego of me. And oh, by the way, can you come to the grand opening in Costa Mesa? We're opening this, and then we're going to have you launch it. And then we want you to go and, you know, I guess do a grand opening. I had no idea that people are crazy over Lego figurines. So for those of you not aware, when you buy a Lego kit, you know, and like what do you call the spaceship or whatever, it comes with these little figurines, and they're known as mini figurines. And there is a whole subculture in the world out there that collect those minifigs. And some of them are thousands of dollars, these little 2.5-inch tall figurines. And I was just amazed when I was at the opening ceremony in Costa Mesa, people come up and they really want that little figurine. And the figurines that I have are just like a very limited edition, and they was all being snapped up. So I've got friends and family calling me from around the world now. They say, where's my figurine? So I'm like saying, I don't have any. I was just, what do you call it? I thought it was a prank, and now I'm the Lego figurine in the world. So I really need to kind of revisit how that works. You know, is it licensing? Is it I buy some, you sell some? I had no idea. There was no contract, nothing. They just made it just like that to test the marketplace.
Yeah, because I was gonna ask you, because I know on your website, you know, it shows the figurine and it's sold out.
We got a few, and I don't know if they're sold out yet, but I got a lot of pitmasters who would call me and say, hey, Harry, I want your mojo. I want you to look over me. So I'm going to get your figurine. I'm going to put it on my pit. So when I cook a contest, I cook for my family, I want you to watch over me and give me your good mojo. If something goes wrong, you know, I'm going to know that something is wrong. And then when I go on stage, I'm going to carry the little mojo as a lucky rabbit foot, and I'm going to go on stage. I have people around the world contacting me wanting that little thing to watch over them. So I thought to myself, wow, in my wildest dreams, I could make this up.
Crazy, crazy. I saw that the other day, and I'm like, oh, my God. I go, I need to get one.
And what is interesting, I can't say their name, but some of these are my friends. They are world champions. They have asked me specifically, they want to get the hands on the Lego. I say, I don't have any myself. So I got to go figure out, like, you know, after I get back from the Shields and the Chicago trip, I got to go figure out how to get more of those little figurines. Because I honestly did not know that there are crazy people who are crazy over those things. I mean, it's got a own subculture. When I went to the store, right, they told me that they have $500,000 worth of these little plastic figurines in the store. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, if you have a box of about 1,000 of those things, it could be $50,000 for a little small box of plastic parts. That's better than crypto, better than, you know, having gold bars underneath your bed.
Oh, yeah. You know, my son absolutely loves Legos, and birthdays, Christmas, and everything. That's the first thing he wants, the kits. He wants the kits. And, you know, looking at some of these kits, it's like,
$300 for a Lego kit, and then they buy the kit just to get the little figurines. Right? They're not so interested in the kit, but they just want a figurine. I saw some parents at the Costa Mesa Lego store. They spent $1,000, right, on their kit, buying all these little small little doodads. So I thought to myself, I am completely like missing out on this opportunity. I had no idea that such a subculture of people even existed, but I had my eyes open, really.
Yeah. But I had seen that, and it popped in my head. I'm like, somehow I got to get my hands on one.
Yeah, so people are always asking me, can you do one with the Weber Smoky Mountain? Can you do one with the pig? Can you do one with the tomahawk steak? Yeah. I have my vendors contacting me. They want to put their product in my hand, you know, like I'm holding the thing. So I thought to myself, I am completely, you know, blown away by the kind of the creativity of people and this whole subculture of Lego figurines called minifigs. There's a whole, like a whole world I do not know about. And I need to, you know, jump in and have fun. I really enjoy playing with Legos. My fun was when I went to the store, I got to play with the Legos because they had like a big bucket of Legos, like a big pile, like a kid's pile. You go in there and kind of make your own stuff. And I met a couple of Lego masters and they knew who I was. And they even ate all the barbecue I brought because I just, you know, brought barbecue and didn't know what to do with it. I gave it to everybody and they were like, you know, attacking like piranhas.
Oh, it's beautiful, Harry. It is beautiful. And like I said, thank you so much for giving me some time tonight. It was a true honor to speak with you, and I enjoyed every moment of our conversation, sir. Thank you very much.
Likewise, Johnny. Thanks for having me on, and anytime you want to shoot the breeze, you know, I'm just one phone call away.
Absolutely, absolutely. Where can everybody find you social media wise?
Social media wise, I'm on all the Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Threads, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can go to snapyourdaddybbq.com. And if you are interested in looking at the grills, it's called primalgrillsusa.com. And I also started a third company with my buddy who's a TED speaker. We do micro conference team training now. So I moved into the Anthony Robbins arena. So we go around the country putting on seminars for team building, for total quality management using barbecue. So what I do is I do day one and I run like a mock barbecue contest. So we have all the different people put through the drill doing barbecue as a mock contest to teach them risk management, financial management, time management, quality management, so on. And then on the second day, my buddy Nick, who's a well-renowned TED speaker, he takes them through another group of exercises to build teams. I'm just amazed. We booked 6 gigs already this year. So I'm going to be busy now transitioning into becoming a corporate trainer now. But the journey keeps going on. I always tell people, you know, that there's a, you know, I always, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is my mentor and he taught me that you have to use the 24 hours in a day. So the story goes that he would work construction 10 hours, right? Then he would go to the gym for 6 hours. Then he'd go acting classes for 2 hours, spend an hour eating and sleep for only 6 hours. And when you complain that 6 hours is not enough sleep, you just say, learn how to sleep faster.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, like I said, Harry, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and an honor, sir.
All right, likewise.
All right. Hang in 1 second. I'll close this out and jump in real quick with you just after. Well, that was it, guys. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Harry Sue. Great conversation. Always spreading that barbecue love. You know, the words he said and points, you know, you can take it on the barbecue and you can also take it to the heart and put it towards, you know, every day of your life on all aspects, all into one. So I thank him for joining us. I thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for the flexibility to start an hour later. I know you'd all would be here and you didn't, and you all came through. So thank you so much. I love each and every one of you. And until next week, keep the smoke rolling.